Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you have, you'll turn to the Gospel of Luke, the physician, chapter number 2. Luke chapter 2, in the Word of God. This is not a philosophy book we have in front of us here. It's not a textbook. It's the Word. It's the Scripture. In Luke chapter number 2, and verse number 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming into that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city Nazareth. Now note carefully what follows. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, and when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to be in the company, went a day's journey and sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, How is it you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Father, bless this blessed book now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke takes it upon himself in the second chapter of Luke to carry us all the way from the birth of Christ in verse number 7 till his 12th year of age on this earth. Luke, of course, is the historian because he tells you in chapter number 3 of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, names, places that you can fix permanently in time. These are locations that are found and mentioned in secular history. But he wants you in the second chapter of Luke to understand something very clearly. And that is that the Lord Jesus Christ was brought forth by a virgin into this world and showed you how that He grew from a little baby like all of us born into this world to 12 years of age. And in verse number 47 of Luke chapter number 2, He wants you to understand that He astonished. He literally dumbfounded the doctors of the law because of His knowledge of Scripture and His grasp of the understanding of Almighty God. Of course, it comes natural for Him because God was His Father. But Mary made a great mistake in verse number 48. And the Holy Spirit called your attention to this. She loved her son, no question about that. But she had begun to see him once again simply as a son. And apparently had forgotten the way he came into this world. She had forgotten that angel Gabriel that said that holy thing is of the Holy Ghost. She had forgotten that no man had had any relations with her, and she as a virgin had brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. How quickly she had forgotten this profound event that had happened to her, and probably by a slip of the tongue, in verse number 48, she said, "Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And the Lord Jesus Christ loved his mother. He loved her to the very end. And while he was hanging upon the cross, he saw to it that she was taken care of once he left this world. He took John, gave him the authority and charge to watch over his mother. And John did from that moment on. John was the beloved disciple and the trusted disciple. Make no mistake about that. But the Lord Jesus Christ mildly rebukes his mother in verse number 49 by reminding her that no earthly man is his father. He reminds her, he said, "Wist you not that I should be about my father's business?" He wants her to be, he reminds her one more time that though she was handpicked and chosen from glory to bring forth into this world the God-man, that it is so easy for a human being to forget these profound things, these spiritual things that happen to us in the course of life. There must be, I'm sure, in this house today, most of you are born again. That somewhere in your life you had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Somewhere you came face to face with God. And it shook the very foundations of your soul. It shook you to the point to where you began to look at who you were and who He is. You began to consider, as that New Testament king did, weighty matters of judgment and eternity and of a judgment to come. You began to think on that. And when you did and think on it long enough, you were born again by the grace of God when you received the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and into your soul. That is a profound thing. But sometimes sin has such a deafening, dumbing, deadening effect upon us that when after a while we forget who we are and where we came from and our heritage and what we're about in this world today. We're not about stuff. We're not about places. We're not about things. We're not about dates. We're not about occasions. Our life is about one man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that defines who you are. He is the one that is altogether important about where you came from and where you're going. Your life is about Christ, and it should be. For the Apostle Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt, my friend, had to wrestle in her heart. The Bible said she pondered these things in her heart when that angel told her she was going to have a son. No, it had never happened before and it'll never happen again. But here was a woman that had to deal with profound spiritual issues. And she had one little slip of the tongue and said, "Your father and I have been looking for you." And the Lord Jesus Christ in His great love and mercy wanted her to understand, "Why didn't you know where I was? You should have known where I was. Why, you should have come straight here. Why, you should have understood what I'm about. I came into this world announced by Gabriel that I would save my people from their sins. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save them from their sins." From the first breath of life He came into this world until He drew the last breath of life at the cross at Calvary, His life was about salvation. He was named the Savior. That's what the name Jesus means. Don't you know, Mother, that I'd be in my Father's house. I'd be in my Father's house. And I'd be dealing with my Father's business. And from day one till He finished His work, He was about the Father's business. Always has been, always will be, and still is. At the right hand of the Father would never deal with you in that essence of that holy, holy, holy God, except through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the intermediary. He's the go-between. He's the hand that touches man and touches God. He can read the mind of man and the mind of God. He can touch the heart of man and the heart of God. He's the bridge that Jacob tried to climb. He's the one the angel went up and down. He's the only one that can reach into heaven on one hand and reach down into this earth on the other. Must not I be about my Father's business? He dumbfounded the doctors and still does to this day. When men live in their own little created castles of their own little mind worship and think they have this all figured out, they're as foolish as they can be. You will never figure God out. This infinite, eternal, absolute being that cannot be known except through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the day comes that God shows you His essence for who He is, it'll blow your mind. The book of Luke chapter number 2 is a Christmas story. It's a story about giving. It's a story about one that loved us. It's a story about one who gave Himself for us. But it's also the story about the God-man Himself. I see a person here. I see His heart here. I see what He's about here. I see how He thought here. He grew like we grow. He was put where we live. He walked where we walk. He breathed what we breathe. He ate what we eat. He lived in the world that we lived in, that we live in now. But He didn't live like I live. He didn't breathe like I breathe. He didn't think like I do. He was altogether different from me. And this was the preparation for who He would be. He is about His Father's business. Now, my friend, this is a wonderful thing for us today. Because He's about His Father's business, we can rejoice because we know that I have committed to Him my soul this morning. I've given to Him my life today. I've given to Him my future today. I've given to Him my hope today. And my friend, I know that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. I'm glad, thank God, 2,000 years ago, my friend God Almighty came down from glory, not as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, not as that one, my friend, that walked in the mountain of God, but He came down as a man, just like me, a man, as He walked on this earth. I understand because He understands. He knows my heart. He knows my feelings. He knows my faith and my shortcomings. He knows when and how to answer prayer. And I saw a prayer answered on this day. When this little one came through that back door, I knew God Almighty had answered prayer. But before that ever happened, He'd already told me in my soul, I'm going to answer prayer. He's going to do it for you too if you trust Him. If you believe in Him, if you take a hold of Him and cling to Him, you'll get a hold of what it means to send a prayer up to Almighty God. Your faith will be tried. Your life will be tried. It'll get dark for you. You may think yourself in a ditch that you'll never get out of. But cling to that unchanging hand. Take hold of the hem of the garment, that part that only you can reach up to. You may be as low as you can possibly get, but He's able to do above and beyond all that you ask or think. Faith is not an elusive thing. It's in your very mouth. The Bible says the faith which we preach is even in your heart and in your mouth. That if we should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, we can be saved. It is near to you. It is present here. All it takes is acting upon what God has planted into your soul. You've heard the word preached. You've heard the word sung. You've heard people shout and rejoice in what God's able to do. But what you have to do is act upon what God said. Instead of being a bystander, an observer, to come to church to get a little religious entertainment, He wants you to come into this house and take hold of His word, receive His word, grasp His word, take it in your heart and in your soul, and then move upon it, act upon it, carry it in your closet, and pray over it, and you'll
see God Almighty begin to answer prayer. His mother and his earthly father, his adopted dad, and that's all Joseph was, went 3 days and didn't know he was there. That's a shame, don't you think? They went with a company and didn't know he was with them. My friend, we do this all the time. We get caught up in everything. It's Christmas, and you'd think that it's about Christ. But instead, we're running here, running there, cooking this, cooking that. These company comes over, this bunch does that. And you're constantly being bombarded every moment of the day with something to keep you busy. Don't forget the main thing. Don't forget what this is really about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's not about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an exercise in worldliness like you wouldn't believe. If Christ is not in this, then it's just one gigantic materialistic orgy. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not in it, it has no meaning. But if He's in it, you can get some meaning out of this that'll blow your mind. Wist ye not that I must be about the Father's business? Is that the purpose of your life, dear friend? For me to live is Christ, Paul said, and to die is gain. Is the purpose of your life about the Father's business? Do you live for eternity, or do you live for time? Is your affection set on things above, or is it set on things on the earth? Do you hear a voice up there louder than you hear a voice down here? Is your heart moving and leaping about what awaits you in the future, or are you more excited about something you can pile up around you here? A Christian is somebody who lives in time, but lives in eternity. He walks in time, but his heart is there. The apostle said, our conversation, which is above, it's in glory, it's in heaven. At any moment, any one of us could draw our last breath on this earth, and 5 minutes from now, our dead body could be lying on this carpet. Amen? It can happen, but you know something? If you're a true child of God, the transition will be so sweet and so quick that you won't even know what happened. You simply step from this world into the world to come. You might hear this voice, but the next one you hear will be the angels of glory. You might see this sun, but my friend, it's a tar pit compared to the Sun of Righteousness that'll rise with healing in His wings. Oh, Paul said, for me to live, for to me to live is Christ. That's what he said. He said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So my friend, God's been good to me. I don't know about you, but He's been good to me. Or do I have all kinds of stuff piled up? Do I have a pile of money? No, but He's been good to me. Has He done for you, preacher, beyond what you ever thought? You better believe it. He's taken me to where I never thought I'd be. He's raised me higher than I ever thought I'd be. He's taken me deeper than I ever thought I'd go. He's taken me apart and put me back together again at least 1,000 times since He saved my soul. I want you to understand today, I want to be putty in His hands. I want to be clay in the hands of the Master. I want Him to take me and make me what He wants me to be. I never want to get to the day in my life as a Christian where I build this hard case around me and I'm settled in everything I know and the Spirit of God can't speak to me anymore. No, sir. Keep me as a little child, Lord. Let's, sir, keep that excitement in my soul. Keep me where I hunger after spiritual things. Keep me where I'm never satisfied until I got your hand on my soul. And that's where I want to stay. I want that more now than I ever have since I've been saved. I've read a lot. I've learned a lot in the few years that I've been born again. Believe me, I have. But you know something? There's something deep down inside me that says, son, you just begun. You just got a foundation. You just wait till you leave here and I roll back eternity for you. Amen. Yeah. You just wait till the mind of God is revealed in your soul. You just wait till you see that eternal purpose that is from everlasting to everlasting. You just got started, son. It's going to get better and better and better and better. The Bible says the path of the just He says, a shining light that shineth more and more to the perfect day. My old body's wearing out, but my soul gets younger by the moment. My old body's coming apart, but my heart leaps with joy. I know that this body goes back from the ground from which it came, but you ain't going to bury me. Don't you think for a minute you will. You're wasting your time. You bury pagans and the unsaved. But the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, how I hunger. I hunger for the day where I go to a land where there is no death and dying, no sorrow, no tears. There's nothing but joy and grace and goodness and light to the redeemed. I want to sing redeemed. I want to shout with God. I want to walk on streets of gold. I want to see the face of the Almighty. I want to be where you don't close your doors at night, for there is no night. It's an eternal day, a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar. That's my land I'm talking about. I'm talking about home. Amen. That's my home. That's where I came from, and that's where I'm going. For 27 years, there was the Charles Lawson that came out of hell. And then in 1973, there was the Charles Lawson whose life came down from above. Yeah, and that life is forever, from everlasting. It just feels like part of me. I know where I'm going. Nobody's got to show me the way. I'm telling you right now, when the hour comes and God says, come on home, son, I know exactly where I'm going. I know who I'll see. I know where I'm headed. Yeah, I belong to him. He is mine, and I am his. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Must wish you not that I must be about the Father's business. Was he about it? Is he still about it? How many of you have ever had his nail-scarred hand touch your soul? You ever had his nail-scarred hand touch your soul? How many of you have ever heard his precious sweet voice speak into your ear and say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Have you ever heard that word? You ever heard a voice from the one who said, Father, Father, they're at 12 years of age, sat down with the doctors of the law, stumped them, confounded them. They'd been spending way too much time in the Talmud and not enough in the Word. Isn't it an amazing thing that the Word was sitting there talking to them out of the Word? Boy, what a thing. What a contrast. The living Word and the written Word were in the house of God, and they didn't even know it. He's the living Word, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God alive. Amen. You think he had a hard time with it? Oh, no. He wrote it. Why would he have a hard time with it? It was his Word. It was the Word of God. And Jesus is God. Wist you not? Where do you think you find him, folks? If you were looking for him this morning and you wanted to find Jesus, would you find him in the hustle and the bustle and the materialism of the world? Or would you find him down there in that big hole in your heart where you got a big need, where your life's coming apart? Man, I get some sad prayer requests. Oh, boy. On that web page, people write, and man, I'm telling you right now, they write about stuff that break your heart. Oh, yeah. But I'm getting ready to post one on the internet. I just got it a couple days ago from this woman. And she said, preacher, she says, I was a drug addict. She said, I lost everything I had. She said, I became a drug addict because I was in a head-on collision at 80 miles an hour. And died. My liver was cut in two and I bled to death. I died. They brought me back. I died. They brought me back. I died. They brought me back. I died and they brought me back. Then finally, when they brought me the last time, they told me, said, you've got no chance to live. You're going to die. But she didn't die. You know why she didn't die? Because God wasn't ready for her. He wanted to leave her here. He wanted to leave her here to give a testimony. Isn't that amazing? I understand that liver cut in a car wreck bleed to death. Because there's a young lady that 2 years ago had that happen right here in Knoxville. And I prayed for her family because that's what happened to her. Either her liver or her pancreas or something was cut in two in a car wreck. And she called her mother and was talking to her mother. And she bled to death. She bled to death. Sweet young girl gone to be with the Lord. Who makes that call, preacher? In Him I live. In Him I move. In Him I have my being. If I show up next Sunday morning to be here at Temple Baptist Church, He made the call. If I don't make it from now to next Sunday morning, He made the call. Am I going to fight Him? He's bigger than I am. Whole lot bigger than I am. Whole lot smarter than I am. Who made man? You say, well, I got up and I came to church. No, you didn't do a thing. Put your finger right up here at this, cardioid artery. You got one on each side feeding that brain. This is the biggest thing in your body with all that blood going through it. All right, can you feel a pulse? Say, I don't feel a pulse, preacher. You're in bad shape, amen. Just we'll let you know right now. Do you know who keeps that heart beating? In Him we live. He does. And when He gets ready, this heart will stop. No argument, no mitigating circumstances, no appellate courts. I'm gone. You can have the highest tech equipment hooked up to me, 50,000 machines, all the nurses and doctors in Knoxville. But if He says, it's time to go home, then I'm gone. I just tried to tell you something. If I go, I know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? Do you really? Do you fear death? Do you fear death? My aunt's mother-in-law in Chicago was a Jew. When I was a 12-year-old boy, I went up there. I'll never forget. I've told you before. Some of you might remember. Some of you probably forgotten. She had a morbid fear of dying. See, how do you know that? Because they told me that. This was my aunt's mother-in-law. She lived in Chicago, my mother's sister. Her mother-in-law was a Jew, and she had a morbid fear of dying. It literally consumed her life. All she could think about was dying, death. The Bible said through fear of death, Satan had power over the Old Testament saints. But the Lord Jesus Christ showed up to bring what? Life to light. He destroyed him that had the power of death. So that means that when I leave here, Satan can't take me from here. It'll be the Lord that takes me. And if He takes me, if this old body's laying in a casket somewhere, come by and look down, old body down there, and say, well, He's done with it. See you. I'll see you in glory. Hallelujah. I'm as certain I know I'm going there that as I'm standing before you here this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray You'd use what I've said. Somebody needs help in here, Lord. Oh, God. How this world weighs people down. It kills them, Lord. It kills them. They get to the point where they can't take it anymore. They blow their brains out, OD on drugs, hang themselves, run off of a bridge. They just can't take it anymore. That's not what You want. That's not the Father's business. The Father's business is to seek and save that which is lost. It's to save them from destruction. Oh, Jesus. Use what I've said, that soul in here, Lord. If there's somebody in this house this morning heard this, they're thinking about that. They're thinking about ending it. They're thinking about being done. They're thinking about finishing this. Speak to them. Show them that this 12-year-old was talking about them because that's the Father's business. He
In Jesus' name we pray, and for Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Let's stand up here this morning and sing.
Page 112 in your All-American Church
hymnal. Come. About the Father's business. Won't you come? Won't you come? Amen. Come unto me. Come unto me, he said. Amen. Hear me and be blessed. Won't you come? Folks, life's a precious gift. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. It's a precious gift. It's precious. Precious gift. You can never be in a position where you don't appreciate your life because you've never been dead. And the only thing you're conscious of is the fact that one day you realized you were alive. Life is a gift from God. Don't throw it away. What are you doing with your life right now? What are you doing with it? It's my business, preacher. Well, it's not my business. No, I'm just a preacher. But it's God's business. What are you doing with your life? Throwing it away? Wasting it? Just living for the flesh? Living for the moment? Instant gratification, satisfaction? Deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into pity, sorrow, hardness, bitterness. That's what it all leads to, folks. It all leads to that. Have you ever heard them talk about the Great Depression that comes in January after Christmas? Anybody's ever heard about that? They start talking about that. They won't do that right now. But as soon as Christmas is over with, into the month of January, they talk about how depressed people become. How depressed they become. They get very depressed. They got on a high. They got all high, you know. But how many of you know that it won't keep you? That's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Stuff's got its place. You have to have stuff. But that's not going to satisfy you. If you could come down here this morning, talk to him. Let him build a fire in your soul. Come alive in your life again. You won't be depressed in January. You'll be singing and rejoicing. Sing one more verse, brother. He'll give you rest. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Don't forget to play this evening at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, be having to play. Don't forget now, next Sunday, we're not going to have Sunday school, but we're going to have Sunday morning service at 11, evening service at 6. Next Sunday, have both services on Christmas Day. All right. Brother Roger, lead us, Mrs.